Okay. Hey everyone. You guys are gonna die. Wait till you see who's coming on. Michelle? Hey honey, how are you? Okay, so I'm going to record and we are live. Good morning. Did you accept us on Insta already? Are we live? You haven't gotten your request. You haven't gotten your request yet?
What's going on, guys? Today's one moment with my dad, Florida. He's in the room. And I'm trying to figure how I can request. So,
did you accept me yet? Did you accept me yet? Hurry up, I have so many questions for you right now. I mean, I've been dreaming of us. No, I'm not kidding. Like I have been writing down questions all night long.
Are you still on Instagram?
Am I doing what, hon?
Are you still on
I sent you the request on Insta. Hold on, guys. We're trying to get it together for you. Did it go through? Do you have it?
No, can you resend it?
Yeah, I'll resend it now. Hang on. Her name is Michelle, but she's really Karate Hottie Mama. And she's one tough cookie. All right, let's see. I thought I had sent it, so I'm gonna go. Hi, guys, thank you. We have the most beautiful Karate Hottie send. I'm sending it again. Successfully sent. See if you got it.
Okay. Doing all these other things.
I don't know why I can't see your beautiful face on my phone. Did you get it? Okay, you send it to me then, if I can't. It said twice successfully sent to you. All this technical difficulty, but I wouldn't want to be in a ring with you, for sure. Okay.
I hear you.
I hear you perfectly. Send hearts.
Thank you. Anyone that
Hang on a sec. Can you hear me? Hold on a minute. Okay, guys, we're having technical difficulty. Karate Hottie Mama, thank you so much for all that love. I'm trying to get my podcast guest on. And I'm having difficulties. So I'm gonna send her a request again. And if you wanna meet her, she's awesome. Send request. Are you on? Are you on right now? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Call me again, Karate Hottie Mama. Call me on the landline. I got you. I got you. You're on. I see you've joined. Now you need to accept the request above. It says send a request to Revite. There it is. There it is. There it is. And go live. Hottie Mama. I think I got it. Waiting for Karate Hottie Mama. Pick it up. Pick it up. Pick it up. Okay, guys. We did it. Okay,
So
we did it.
I I think what it is either I'm on your live video on your Instagram or you're on my live video on my Instagram.
Okay, so I'm looking at both of us right now. We're both right, on.
Cool. Okay, so we're on your Instagram.
We're on the Insta. We made it. We made it. And we're on the podcast, so we can go. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, yeah.
So, Michelle, first of all, I want to tell them how we met. We met at Onnit a few years back, and she was sitting next to me as humbly as ever, and I had no idea. I was sitting next to a champion mixed martial arts, and we had lunch together, and I fell in love with her that day. So this is our second, actually, podcast, and it won't be our last. And there's her husband, my family. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy holidays.
Oh, my God. What a great year. I started it off with Oprah Winfrey and Lady Gaga.
No way.
It was amazing. It was amazing. And then I went to church, and I've been working out hardcore ever since. So it's been a great year so far. How about you guys?
It's been good. You know, I feel like normally our go-to for New Year's is to, you know, drink a bunch and have, you know, party with all of our friends and kind of recap over the year and just go over the memories. But I was under the weather this year, and we decided to stay in, and it was actually pretty refreshing. We got to stay in, spend the New Year's with our little one, and she was really excited to stay up till midnight. But
as soon as midnight.
Speaking of her, I mean, she's a gymnast.
Yes.
I mean, what?
That's incredible. Yeah, she's got her back from yesterday. Yeah.
And how do you feel about her ever wanting to be a fighter like you, Michelle?
Oh, we will support her with whatever she wants to do in life. You know, as long as she understands that whatever she does want to do is going to take work and dedication and sacrifice with whatever she decides to do. I don't think that she's interested in martial arts at the moment. You know, she's kind of a, she's a diva. She likes to be dramatic. She's really good at gymnastics.
She's beautiful. I love her. She's got so much heart. You guys are doing a great job. So I'm not lying. I spent most of the night thinking and asking, actually, the people that I was with, what they would want to ask you, because you are a wealth of information and feedback, specifically for women that are in unconventional fields, that are parenting, that are trying to maintain a happy, well-nourished marriage. And I came up with a couple of questions that I think are going to help get answers for people that I think they want to ask you these questions. Are you really friends with the people you fight with?
It depends. Some of them, yes, and some of them, I don't care to hang out with when I'm done fighting, you know what I mean? And, you know, sometimes you click with certain people, and it is strange because it's such a small world that normally you do become friends with the people that you have similarities to, which are fighters. It just so happens that we have to fight each other inside the octagon, and that's just kind of the name of the game. I try to do the whole, I don't like you, and I'm going to beat you up before I get into the octagon. And it didn't work for me. It stifled my movement, and it stifled my creativity. And so, you know, ultimately for me, I fight because it forces me to face a lot of my own fears. And that's something that I'd rather focus on than trying to, you know, inflict damage on my other opponent. But, you know, again, like I said, that's the name of the game. We both signed the contract to try to see who can inflict the most damage. And we know what to expect when we get in there.
Wow. Hey, how about that good-looking guy sitting next to you? How does he deal with watching you get hurt in a ring?
What?
Ask him. I don't see it that way because, you know, I also came up in boxing, actually. And so I know that the sports, whether it's boxing or mixed martial arts or any form of combative, it's tough. But I think for me, what puts me at ease is, especially now, the last 2 years, me and Michelle have really just 100% worked together nonstop. And so since I am in her corner, it puts me at ease knowing that, hey, we've done all the work that we can do on our end. Everything that we can't control, we've done it. And then now, you know, fight day, it's up to her to just go in and have fun. You know, forget about all the animosity and stuff that you were talking about, where some people like that. Again, right. Michelle, just go in there and show what I can do.
I will have to say, though, I know it's hard for him to see me hurt, you know. It's hard for him to see me bruised up, bloody, hurt physically and also emotionally because, you know, for over a decade, he has been he's my protector. He's the one that, you know, he's the shoulder that I cry on. He's the one that, you know, pats my boo-boos and puts, you know, kisses my boo-boos and all that stuff. And when we're inside the octagon, it's 5 minutes and he can't come in and stop the girl from punching me or hitting me. So
I know that he wants to jump in there. I know he wants to jump in there. I know it because I know him. And yeah. I know he loves you. And it has to be so hard.
That's the biggest thing, I think, is when I do take damage, like, he knows that I'm professional, and he knows that at the end of the day, like, I've been hurt. Like, I've had broken noses. I've had, you know, swollen eyes, broken hands. But the physical pain is nothing compared to the emotional pain of you know, losing a fight. And so, and he knows that. It's kind of just a couple of days, really, of quiet, I guess.
For me, it's a two-part, I guess. Not if you guys are making me think about it. Because, yeah, during the fight, I feel like I have to kind of separate myself. I'm not husband. I'm the other person's doing as well. But, yeah, Michelle's right. The very next day, when things start to show... I hate it. I do hate that part, right? When I am back to husband.
Yeah.
And she's called me out on it because there's sometimes where I can't even, you know, I don't even want to look, you know, where it kind of just pings. So right. Those are tough. Yeah, for sure. Those are tough.
I love the way you guys love each other. And first of all, if you just even worked in an office, in a conventional environment, it would be difficult working with each other, living with each other, co-parenting with each other. But in this world, which is extremely unconventional, that she's the fighter, that he's the supporter, you're raising a family and a very healthy family. I can't imagine what it's like. What is that like, working together and doing everything together? I mean, you guys travel together, and I mean, 2.5, you don't leave her behind.
Yeah.
How do you do that and maintain a successful union?
I'd say the biggest thing is you know, we are lucky enough that, you know, I think we really are, you know, just meant for each other and, you know, the whole soulmates and all that. But I do think we do a good job of communicating. Right. And I think we know, you know what, I'm going to go do this on my own. You go do your nail. You go run. Do whatever it is that you want to do. Call. You know, she has good friends with you know, Holly and some of the other girls where, you know, you girls go get a massage, go do something, and we'll relax a little bit, you know. But I think for the most part, everything kind of works. I mean, we're lucky in that sense.
It still is, I think.
Learning.
I mean, it's a learning process, and it's always trial and error. But I think we have to give each other the space to learn and grow. And sometimes that involves having uncomfortable conversations that are real, because we're dealing with multiple hats. You know, it's husband and wife, and then it's mom and dad and daughter, and it's
coach and athlete, and it's manager and athlete.
So there's all these different hats, and sometimes we can get stuck on, I can look at him as my husband when he's trying to coach me. I'm like, why are you yelling at me?
Yeah, like, who are you now? Like, which role are you right now? Well, yeah. I commend you on doing such a beautiful job with family, mm-hmm. with marriage, and your professional growth. I mean, 2020 can't handle you guys. You said communication, which I know all too well, is a key factor, honesty, trust, respect, which actually I fell in love with your husband at Onnit first because of the way he kept coming in with your daughter, waiting for you by the door. I was like, is that man real right now? Is he really coming to support her in this fashion? And it makes perfect sense that your daughter is the way she is and that you are successful because it's that no filter, unconditional love that you guys are showing. And you're showing it not only to each other privately, but you're showing it to the world. And I am a big advocate in showing love because right now we need it more than ever. Okay, so my next question is, I loved your cover on ESPN where you are butt naked. Loved it. Send hearts for that one. If you've not seen that cover, you gotta Google this. Go on the Google and type her name, cover of ESPN. Wow. That picture, your body looks like a stealth weapon. How did you first of all, I need to ask you because I do shoots all the time. How do you maneuver confidently trying to look like a fit, strong body without feeling shy and you're naked and people are watching? I mean, how do you do that? How do you do that? By the way, I love that picture.
Thank you. It was definitely it was definitely a challenge. I think, you know, before we even decided to do the ESPN shoot, I sat down and talked with Josh about it. Because it was something that I really did want to do. It was something, you know, something of a bucket list, really, because I feel like ESPN is so tasteful when it comes to, you know, what they do with the human body and the reasoning behind them showing a naked body. It's not for sex appeal. It's for
strength.
It's to show, okay, this is what you can transform your body to if you want to be a fighter. This is what a gymnast's body look like. This is what a hockey player's body look like. And it's so cool to me to see how us as humans can literally decide to make our bodies whatever we want it to be. And I found so much strength from that. And I used to be very self-conscious of how boxy my body was because of fighting. And I used to be really self-conscious of how, you know, flat-chested I was because, you know, because I think that a lot of women, you know, love like the breasts and the curves and stuff like that. And so do I, but doing the shoot really made me fall in love with my body for what it was. And it, like you said, it was a killing machine. Like I transformed my body to be a killing machine. Josh was with me on the shoot. And I think, the way they made it, and it was freezing. I thought, okay, we're going
to be desert. That's a benefit.
I was so cold. I was like, every in between takes, they were bringing blankets over and trying to be like not shaking while they were taking these pictures. But it was funny. There was only about a dozen people like on set, but it was only like me and the photographer and a couple other people at first. And then slowly more people started coming up and finally I kind of was just like, you know what? Like we all have the same body parts. And I think that we should be proud of how much work we put in to make our bodies look the way they do.
Well, you know? I think that shoot resulted in a beautiful, beautiful result. But I think you represent a lot, and body shaming and feeling embarrassed about the way you look, whether your boobs are big or not, is, I think you are a great role model for that because you're showing strength, not only from the outside, but you're showing strength from the inside because all girls and all guys have issues with the way they look. And you standing there, and by the way, cryotherapy is great for keeping it tight. So the fact that it was freezing is a blessing, but I think that shoot really, it showed strength from the inside as well. It really, and you are an inspiration for all athletes, for all teenage girls, for all older women. You are an inspiration on so many levels. I can't tell you. I think about you a lot when I'm getting partially naked. I haven't done a full naked thing. Like Demi Moore did that pregnant one. That was amazing. That was like groundbreaking back in the day. But you, that was a tremendous shoot. Oh my God. So I, last night I was talking about this. I was at the Panthers game. That's Florida hockey. Can you believe that? And I was asking people what they would say to you, what they would ask you. And I got the following questions, and I learned, actually. And I love to learn. Every time you learn, you are blessed. And I, for the first time in my life, heard of cauliflower ear. Can you tell me and explain to me?
Oh, I don't know if you can. This one has it more. So you can see the difference in my ears. So this ear is like not as swollen. But this ear, you can see how it's what it does is it fills with liquid, and then the liquid hardens, and then that's what it turns into.
So wait a minute. First of all, does it hurt?
Yes.
It hurts. Does it hurt forever, or does it just hurt during a fight?
It hurts when it happens. So it's like, you know how when you get a like a thumbnail, like a hangnail.
Yeah.
And it gets pulled and your thumb is just throbbing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how it feels on your ear. And it's just from the impact, you know, and the skin between the front and the back of your ear loosens up, and then liquid fills in that in there. And sometimes you can get away with just icing it and it goes away, but sometimes it fills with liquid so fast because the impact is so hard that all you can do is try to drain as much of the liquid out, but it hardens.
Well, and then I guess wrestlers also suffer that, I guess.
Yes. Okay, I got some wrestling.
Okay, so I'm going to share with you an ear secret of mine. I was born with one Dumbo ear, and then I had three stitches to hold it back. And so I had one ear that kind of stuck out. So now we both, this one was normal, and this one was Dumbo. So now we've both shown our ears. Look at that. We've grown. So my next question is insurance. How easy is it to insure you?
You mean as far as like life insurance or?
Life insurance, health insurance. She is a great risk. Normal.
As far as life insurance, we've had on Michelle. We've had it for years before when you know she was pregnant. So at that time, depending on the insurance company you get, at that time, you know, we didn't know where things were going, so it was easy. But even now, I think companies have done a good job at adjusting their rate. They'll like prorate and they'll add, you know, so much per thousand or whatnot. But it's not as hard as you think. It depends on what company you go with.
Okay, because yeah. J-Lo insures her glutes for like zillions, zillions of dollars. And I was thinking, wow, does Michelle need extra coverage when she goes in? I want to marry, look, somebody wrote, I want to marry Karate Hottie. That's so cute. She's married already, guys, to a great, great man. Okay, so the insurance is not an issue. Okay, so here's a question. How much money, more or less, or how do you come up with a number? Do you get paid if you win? And if you lose, how much less do you get paid?
Well, for contract, we can't discuss the actual numbers, but yeah, normally the way it works with the UFC, and you want to answer.
Yeah, so how it works with the UFC, I'm not sure how it is. I think boxing is a lot different than MMA, but how it works in MMA or with the UFC and kind of with any other organization that I fought for since I began fighting is you sign a contract, and sometimes they sign you in for a multi-fight contract if they know they want to lock you in. And what you do is you basically go up in increments if you win. So you get paid a fight purse. and then you get paid a win per. And usually what it is a double. So
yeah, so to keep things simple, let's say it's so they'll call it show money and win money, right? So just keep things simple, $10,000.
Okay.
So for the fighter to show, they get $10,000. The fight happens and they win, they get another $10,000, so it would be $20,000. Then, like Michelle said, then they'll do increments. So if you win, then next fight, now it's 15 and 15.
But if you don't win, then you don't go up. So say you lose the fight, then you only get paid $10,000.
Got it.
Period. And so you have to pay the taxes on that. And out of the purse that you make, you also have to pay your coaches' fees, your manager fees. If you have any nutritionists, you have to pay your nutritionists. If you have like a sports psychologist, you have to pay your sports psychologist, right. Your chiropractic, all your medicals, all those things are things that you have to pay out of your own pocket.
Wow. Okay. So nutrition, I'm glad you brought that up. You said you can transform your body to whatever you want it to be, which I agree. I agree with you 100%. How big is nutrition to you on a daily basis? Every day.
I think that I'm going to be honest with you right now.
I like honesty. I love it.
Nutrition is probably the hardest thing for me to get a grasp on because there are so many things happening. Our lives aren't a regular routine. And I think that in order for you to get your nutrition in order, it has to be routine, or you have to have really, really good preparation. And when I have a fight scheduled and things get serious and I have a date set, then I know, okay, I have to be serious. But outside of having a date set, if there's something that I let go on the wayside, it is my nutrition. Because I do love food, I do love being able to go out and spend time with my family and eating. Like, I'm a foodie. I like to eat at food trucks. I like to have a drink with my food, you know. I like to try different things when I go to different restaurants, different places. I'm the one that reads all the reviews on Yelp and Google about all the food and stuff like that.
Does Josh cook?
He makes a really
breakfast.
Really good breakfast.
I'm on the breakfast side.
I love that. Man that can cook is everything. Okay, so nutrition, you're as human comes, is basically it.
I do. I try to, what I do try to keep up on is my hydration. I think that's really important. And also like my vitamins that, you know, I take on it supplements all the time. I think one of the really good supplements that I take from them are my gut health supplements. And that does help with the digestion, especially if I am eating bad. They're just these little packs that I throw in my purse and I can just pop them. And that really
does
help.
It's convenient. Well, mm-hmm. I live and die by powders and vitamins, and I'm older than you, and I know that it makes a difference. She really is in love with Josh. Yes, I can tell. I'll tell you, the vitamins and the nutrients, and you know what else I've been doing regularly are the vitamin bags, the IVs. Uh-huh. Because
the fighters aren't able to do IVs.
Oh, which brings me to my next question. You're so smart.
You get the saline, and there's it's like jam packed with vitamins, right?
Right. Steroids.
How often do you do that?
Steroids is my next question. Now, why do I do vitamin bags, Josh?
No, how often? How often is that?
If I could do it every week, I would. I just can't. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's expensive, but mm-hmm. and I have sponsors, so I'm fortunate. But Josh, I can tell right away in my workout, in my sleep, in my skin, my hair, it's immediate and it's just so quick and it's so much. And, you know, I can buy vitamins and I do, and I take them every day and I have sponsors and I do that every day. However, the vitamin bag, it's quick. It's the future. It's definitely.
Yeah. I would say so because it bypasses your digestive tract and all that stuff. It just goes right into the bloodstream. So you don't have to worry about it. Cause sometimes you take vitamins and your body will filter through it and you only get like a third, a half of what you really need.
That's right. That's right.
And you know what, on that end, I don't know. What we have to do is we have to go through USADA and ask them.
You can't, no IV.
Well, before competition.
No IVs, period.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'd have to ask them.
Because what they say is you can take IVs to hide that you're taking steroids. Like,
right. So I saw you once in an interview talk about steroids. I don't remember if it was on TV or on the web, but anyway, I did see you talk on steroids, and I loved it because I go often to the gym, and I know a lot of people that use steroids, and I have no. It's not for me, and I feel like when you're an athlete and people believe in you and they're paying to see you, that you should indeed use your body and everything that is natural and not unfairly ingest things that can enhance your performance. And I saw you talk and I was like, oh, she's not only my hero personally, but she's my hero professionally, because often people will take the faster route, the quicker route, and not even consider that the integrity is being compromised. Mm-hmm. And I have much respect for you. So in your world, how common is it for people to cheat and use steroids?
You know, I'm kind of oblivious to that because I don't, like, I stay in my lane. Like, I know what's under my control, which is myself and my body, and I take care of myself. Anything that happens outside of that is really, it's out of my control, and it's none of my business. You know, like, they can do with their body what they want to do. I really feel like the benefit you get from taking steroid versus the damage that you could do to your body long term is definitely not worth it.
I read a book by Jose Canseco years ago, talking about the baseball world, and oh, he got in so much trouble for that book. But it was shocking to me how all the majority of our baseball heroes were not on the up and up, because, you know, yeah. I mean, our kids are paying tickets. You're watching, you're changing your schedule. I mean, it's difficult. I get it. I mean, I put in the work and I abstain from eating chocolate and French fries and all that to get where I want to be. I can't even imagine. Anyway, I have so much respect for you on that. Which makes me... Go ahead.
I was talking to my friend who before, he was a legend before, back in the day when MMA was kind of still on the rise and still evolving, and before USADA, and he fought for Pride out in Japan, and he told me about, like, in the contest specifically, they would tell the fighters that they do not press for steroids, like, specifically, because, like in that era, they wanted to see the big guys with all the muscles, and they wanted to see the knockouts, and they wanted to see the guys be able to go toe-to-toe for 10 minutes straight. And kind of one of the only ways you could do that is through the steroids. And what he was telling me is he was clean, you know, but it would frustrate him because he knew that his competition was not clean. And so it's like when you get to a level of competition where everybody's doing it and you're the only one that's not, like, you have to try to put yourself on the same playing field, or you're like put out. So I understand.
Everyone's on that edge. Everyone's looking for that edge.
Everybody, like at the top, was looking for that edge, and there was no regulation. So it was kind of like, if you don't do it, then you're kind of like, you're gonna be left in the dust.
Yeah.
I think in any combative sport, I mean, you can cause harm to the other human being. So for sure, especially in combative sports. You know, baseball, I'm not a big baseball player. I do think, like you said, I'm with you on don't do it. But, you know, you're not hitting a human being, you know?
Right. Oh, no. It's an unfair fight. It's a complete unfair fight. So how often do you exercise?
When I'm in fight camp, so fight camp is kind of like preparing for a specific fight. And we usually have fight camp. I like 8 weeks for a fight camp to prepare for one specific opponent. So when I'm in fight camp, I train 3 to 4 times a day. I have one day as a rest day, and then one day as kind of like an